Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
In sports, there's winning and losing and getting injured. That's why there's Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Robert Clapper is the head of orthopedic surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
It's Saturday morning, and it's time for Dr. Clapper.
Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer.
This is the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
Hey, Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
Yes, Doc, I love your show.
Thank you.
Now, here he is, Dr. Robert Clapper.
Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai. 31 years. God, that's a long time. Before I get started, I really want to thank Rebecca Womble for being behind the scenes, producing it, the great Steve Paulette and Jared Abrams for running around getting us guests as well. Today's guest is courtesy of the great Ben Lyons. His good friend Michael Wexler is going to be our guest, and we're going to get into it because I'm so excited for today's show. Michael Wexler and his partner, Michael Cassara, calling in at 8:15. I got to tell you, growing up, the few hours I could spend every week because my dad was working and I was going to school, he never took a vacation. He worked as hard as he possibly could constantly. But Sunday mornings, his only treat that I ever saw him give himself in life was going to what's known as the appetizing store. I don't even know if they call them that anymore. But that's where the smoked fish was. Lox, Nova Scotia lox, belly lox, pickled herring, sturgeon, whitefish. You walk into the place was called Toddy's, sawdust on the floor. And he would just become a different person. He was so excited. And stuff is expensive, but it's like nothing else you could eat, with a bagel, cream cheese, and the way they would slice that salmon, thin so you could look through it. That was the key. Sharpening their knives. It must have made the biggest impression on me. So it has a special place in my heart. Lox, which is smoked salmon. Probably the greatest chef in Los Angeles is Wolfgang Puck. I saw Wolfgang Puck say that the best, my mouth is watering already, that the best bagel and lox is here in Los Angeles at a place called Wexler's Deli. Oh my God. So I called Ben Lyons. You got to help me get this guy, which we did. And I have now tasted this lox. I agree with Wolfgang Puck. But let me tell you, this quality does not come, and you can all get it. Santa Monica, they have a location. Downtown, they have a location. And they're still doing takeout, so you can get it right after the show is over. Best bagel and lox I've ever had. And you know it doesn't come without a tremendous amount of work and passion to make it perfect. And you're going to hear Michael Wexler talk about salmon and how to create the perfect lox or pastrami. You'll appreciate his passion for food. But how could you be so in love with salmon? Well, that's what we're going to learn about. So when I thought about putting the show together, where does the passion, the desire to make that perfect slice of salmon, do you see it? Because you know I love the world of art, the world of sports, the worlds of surgery. Where do you see something like this? That's related to lox or salmon. Well, my favorite baseball player for the California Angels, he won the World Series for them in 2002, is none other than Tim Salmon, which is kind of funny that his last name is Salmon, which is how you make lox. But what you're going to hear in a minute when you hear him speak about his career, the passion at an early age he had for baseball, but most importantly, in 2005, he had rotator cuff surgery and knee surgery. He'd already been there for 13 years. He easily could have retired, but he didn't retire. He came back in 2006. He didn't play a lot, but he was a mentor for all the players. But he did it specifically for one reason, which we all can learn from. Tim Salmon came back that last year because he wanted to end his career on his own terms. I love that. And you're going to hear as well, probably the most famous place to get lox and salmon in the world is in New York City at a place called Zabar's. Wait till you hear the soundbite of the 85-year-old Len Burke, who's worked at Zabar's forever, talking about he retired at 65 years old and then became a lox slicer, where he's been at Zabar's forever. The guy could have retired. He did retire. His passion for his work, his desire to end his career on his own terms, it's exactly like hearing Tim Salmon. And in surgery, I got to believe watching those men in that appetizing store with the passion that they had, the tools they were using, how those knives were sharpened, had to make a big impression on me as a surgeon and the tools that I use. Can't wait to get into it with you. Clapper Vision, we're all watching. Tomorrow will be another two episodes of the Michael Jordan story. It's the only sports that's on now other than the NFL draft. And look out, San Diego Chargers or whatever they call themselves now. They are getting better. They are going to be a team to watch. But I can't help but think about Michael Jordan's injury. So that's going to be our Clapper Vision today. Fracturing his navicular bone. This is a bone in your foot that it makes the famous arch in your foot. The top of that arch where all the stress is the navicular bone. So here's a Clapper Vision for you. If you want to make a window for a house, you'll make a rectangular window with 2x4s. There's a window. But if you go back in time, the very first windows you'll see are arches. The Romans invented it, where you see the top of the window has a hemicircle. Well, what allows rock to not collapse is at the top of the arch to allow horses to go in and out, to make a window, to make an arch. That top stone has to be cut at the right angle, like a trapezoid, because as gravity makes the rock fall, it pushes on both sides of the rock and sustains the arch, if you will. Where did the Romans come up with this idea? I'm convinced they must have looked at someone's skeleton at their foot. The skeleton, our own bone, has a natural arch. And it comes from a bone called the navicular bone, which looks exactly like that keystone bone the Romans create to make the apex of the arch. You break that foot and it doesn't heal, you truly do end your career. Whether it's Bill Walton or Yao Ming, it's a bad injury, particularly in a basketball player. Michael Jordan gets it, takes the cast off after 6 weeks and starts playing basketball in North Carolina, and the rest is history. It was a fascinating injury, and we'll get into more Clapper Vision as the show goes on. But let's get into today's show right away, the sound bites. Let's listen to Tim Salmon. This do, Rebecca, Tim Salmon retirement tribute. Let's do Tim Salmon and Garrett Anderson. Let's go 1 through 6, the story of Tim Salmon and the California Angels.
My dad was supposed to be watching me, and he was watching the news, and my mom came in and asked where I was, and the mad hunt started, and they found me literally across the park, on the other side of the park, leaning up against a screen watching the Little League game. So it must have been, you know, destiny for me.
Destiny.
You're a kid, you're playing all the sports. I played football, played basketball, baseball. We played what was ever in season, and we took them all seriously, I guess, to some degree, but it wasn't until after high school that it really became like, okay, this is it. This is your focus.
Draft baseball became his focus.
I had a stack this thick of
but
every
he didn't get drafted
scout that came to see me play from every organization, and every one of them had a different story, but they're all like, you're my first pick, all that stuff. You know, you're just sitting there waiting by the phone. You know, you knew it started like at 8 o'clock in the morning or something, and I remember a summer day, you know, just hanging around. Dad's at work, nobody else is around the house, and I'm just waiting for a phone call, and you know, days passing, nothing happens. And I'm like, what on earth? I mean, you know, did I not get drafted? What's going on? And then the next day, it was a writer from Tucson called and said, the Angels drafted you. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he said third round, and I was like, what? Third round? Are you kidding me?
I mean, that gave him a chip on his shoulder.
And I'm like, I'm going back to school. Forget this. I don't want to go play somewhere where the system's that messed up, you know?
Wasting no time showing the teams that passed on him in the draft that was a very big mistake, Tim Salmon won the Baseball America Minor League Player of the Year Award in 1992, and in 1993 was named the American League's Rookie of the Year.
How do you
like
that? This
has been a tremendous year for me. I've really enjoyed it, and this is just the icing on the cake, and I'd like to thank the Baseball Writers Association for choosing me for this award. When it happened, I thought it was pretty cool. Mike Piazza won it on the other side, you know, of L.A. there, and the Dodgers locked up Mike Piazza. Then the media looked squarely at the eyes of the Angels and said, what are you going to do to your Rookie of the Year? And they came and, you know, negotiated a multi-year deal. The year before, I was making $12.50 a month in Edmonton, and, you know, about $900 of it was going to rent, to all of a sudden, a year later, I'm Rookie of the Year, and I'm signing a three- or four-year deal for, like, $10 million. It's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, what a change of fortune. So now you know you're going to be in the big leagues for the next two or three years. I mean, you're not going to be sent down. The team's got money in you. So it really immediately solidified the fact that I was a major leaguer. You know, the financial part of it was nice, but more importantly, it was just the fact that, okay, I can relax. I'm going to be in the lineup every day for the next three or four years. Just go out there and play the game of baseball. I always thought I'd be that guy that starts and finishes with one organization. It means so much on this side of the fence, this side of a career. Now that I'm here, you know, at 50 years old, I'm so thankful that happened. Cradle to grave. I mean, always been an Angel. I can walk in this stadium and I have so many friends, lifelong friends, and they're like family to me. And, you know, this is home. This is my home away from home.
Tim Salmon's story is of confidence of who you are, and you need that. But towards the end of that career, he's going to dictate how he finishes it. You can just tell how passionate he is, how prideful he is of his work. Tim Salmon. If they smoked him, he'd be Tim Locks. There was an interview he had with Mike Trout. You know what they called it? Fish talk. A salmon is talking to a trout. I love that. But speaking of that, let's get into someone who also has the passion, who also has the love, who's going to do things on his own terms. The great Len Burke, 85 years old. Slicing salmon, slicing locks at Zabar's. I know it's crazy, but it almost sounds like Tim Salmon talking about baseball. Let's go to Locks Me Tender, 1-7.
84 years old, and I come to Zabar's every Thursday and Friday.
Can I get it? It's 84, 5.
I was a certified public accountant for about 40 years, after which I sold my practice. When I finished that, a friend of mine called me up and said there was an ad in the newspaper that Zabar's wanted a lock slicer. And I said, I can do that. When I came behind the counter, Saul Zabar interviewed me. He couldn't believe that a certified public accountant wanted a slice lock.
How may I help you?
Work is one of the most important things in life. I have many friends that are ill, can't walk, can't speak, their minds are going. Yeah. I feel very lucky. I'm in the middle of what is going on today. When I came behind the counter, I slice it, I wrap it, I bag it, I give it. I focus on the job with relative ease because there are only a certain amount of things that I do. When it gets very busy, I feel like a machine.
Yep.
It's as though my body knows what to do without my brain. One of the things I remember about my grandfather, he was a religious Jew, and lobster is not kosher, but he used to eat lobster. My father's sister had a fish store in the Fulton fish market. My father was very involved with fish. I guess that's when it all started.
Well,
I enjoy the physical aspects of dealing with the fish. A kid comes in, I pick up a whitefish, and point the whitefish at them and say, did you ever kiss a whitefish? I've never tasted two fish that taste exactly the same. The art of slicing salmon is really based on being comfortable with the fish, understanding the anatomy of the fish, and learning the various methods of slicing. I've been trying to make the perfect slice for about 16 years now.
Wow.
But I know that I haven't achieved it yet. I love running my hand across it. It's a very sensual experience. You could say I'm making love to the salmon.
You know, I would argue Tim Salmon, he's using a bat in his hands, and he's also, his whole career, searching for the perfect swing, the perfect hit. And he had 299 home runs. It's still an Angel record. He's in love and in search of that perfect swing in baseball, just like Len Burke, searching for that perfect slice with that incredibly sharp knife. What a story, right? And guess what the music we're going to play today? Where else do we see fish? Hootie and the Blowfish. Coming up next, I'll take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. The clinic will be open. We'll do some clapper vision. And I want to give a shout out and a happy birthday to my good friend Jack Nicholson, turned 83 this week. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior show here on 710 ESPN.
Get smart.
Just what are you getting at?
Check out the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
Like this.
Medical advice from Cedars-Sinai, head of orthopedic surgery.
Are you kidding?
With a Far Rockaway attitude and a little drizzle of mozzarella.
Well, it's important to me.
Search Weekend Warrior in the space bar.
Like this.
And click on Doc's picture.
I see.
Like, follow, and enjoy the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
That's right. Mahalo. Aloha.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Ahui hoi.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question.
Answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
That's right.
Son,
give
we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
That's right.
Those words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
That's fantastic. The great Jack Nicholson turned 83 years old this week. Happy birthday, Jack. If you go on Twitter, you'll see one of the top 10 moments in my life when he said, hey, Doc, want to go to the game with me tonight? Can you imagine sitting with him courtside, Kobe Bryant playing in front of you? Man, it was just wonderful. What a beautiful guy. And Rob Reiner, the director of that movie, said, once they did the scene, they did these other, you know, takes to kind of get fine-tune it, and they didn't need Jack anymore because he'd already done the scene. And Rob Reiner said, Jack, we're done. Why are you still hanging around? He said, because I just love to act. Len Burke loves to slice locks. Tim Salmon was not going to end his career because of his shoulder rotator cuff and his knee injury. He had him fixed and came back in 2006 to finish his career the way he wanted to, because he loved baseball, loves the game, and wanted to pay it its respect on his own terms. It's passion. And at 8:15, we're going to be hearing from Michael Wexler, a guy with passion for salmon, for lox, for fish. And that's why he's got the best deli to smoke fish that I've ever had. So it all comes together. Only on this show would I be talking about lox, Tim Salmon, surgery, and Jack Nicholson. But that's why we all tune in. All right, let's take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Clinic's open. Let's go to Jose. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Jose. What do you think of that? What do you think of that, combining Tim Salmon, lox, and surgery?
Only one man can do that. <with you, Doc. laughs> By the way, I got to go back and watch that movie. I forgot how great it is.
Unbelievable. And he, you know, when you really get to know Jack Nicholson, which I've been blessed to be able to do, he is the most passionate, the most intelligent, and just a pleasure to be in his company, no doubt. So, how can I help you? What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for about 26 years and a coach, a football coach in LAUSD. So, I appreciate your passion for making the world a better place. It's pretty much what I've done, too.
You know what? People don't realize how much pleasure you get in life when you give of yourself. You know, and don't ask for anything back. Just keep giving. And guess what? What you get back, you should thank the person who's saying thank you to you for making you feel that good. And I got to tell you,
I thought that coaching made me a better person, you know?
It does. And particularly that you're a teacher. Because when you're teaching someone who doesn't know what you know, and you're empowering them with some education, it doesn't get better than that. I don't care what you do for a living. Yeah, you can be in charge of Microsoft. You can make billions of dollars. That's not what your life should be about. It should be about that feeling you get when you give without asking anything back. So good for you. It's my pleasure to be able to help you. Tell me what's up.
Thank you, sir. I've been running all my life off and on. And in the last few years, I've, really adjusted how much I run. I try not to run over 25 minutes and no more than about 20, 25 miles a week, just to stay in the game. But I've been doing a lot of things around the house that involve squatting and up and down, and started in December. I squatted down to do something, and I felt what I thought was a pull on my patellar tendon, and then my knee got really sore. Now, I got better, and then I kept doing more work around, and about a month ago, my knee just swelled up, and it got to the point where I haven't run in a month, but I can't even do basic stuff, sitting down, getting up, putting on a shoe. It's very painful. So I finally went and got an MRI, and they said that I have a tear on my lateral.
So go ahead and first let me just give you some Clapper vision before we even get started.
And then
you're going to read to me the impression part of the MRI. But already what I want people to appreciate is the history, the beautiful history that you've now given. So let's pretend we're going into your backyard and there's a beautiful rose and you want to give your wife that rose that's in full bloom, which they are right now. And you now want to clip the rose. So you can take that small little, like a pair of pliers clipper that fits in your palm of your hand, boom, and you can clip the rose because it's a tiny little branch, right? But what if while you're going into the backyard, your head smacks upon a branch from a tree that, smacked you in the forehead, and it's a significantly big branch. Maybe the branch is the size of your thumb or the size of your forearm. I mean, it's big. It's thick. You ain't going to be able to use that little handheld device that you use to clip the rose because you don't have a mechanical advantage to clip a big branch. So you're going to put that one down that you use for the rose, and you're going to go in the garage, and what are you going to get? You're going to get that giant, long-handled pruning clipper, right? Mm-hmm. It has those two long handles because those long handles when you now put the jaws of that pruning device around that thick branch, the length of those two handles will give you the mechanical advantage to be able to snap that branch, okay? Well, I want you to look at your leg right now, which, by the way, is it right side or left?
Left.
So look at your left leg right now. Look at the length of your thigh bone, your femur. Look at the length of your shin bone, your tibia. Those are roughly the same length that those giant pruning shears for getting the big branches, right? Those long handles. Okay. That's the length of your femur and your tibia. So now you can appreciate, Dr. Clapper, all I did was just squat down. Well, the meniscus, the cushion, that rubbery structure, the same material your nose and your ear is made of, is living inside the knee joint. That's basically where the hinge is of that pruning shear with this huge mechanical advantage. So when you squat down and you catch that meniscus in the wrong spot with those two handles, snap, that's what you felt. You cracked that meniscus that's inside your knee. Now, how young are you?
54.
54. So at 54, your treatment for your lateral meniscus, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to be different than if you were 24. Because at 24, everything is well hydrated in our body. Look at how our skin behaves. Look at us as young people. When you're 54, don't shoot the messenger. You're not young anymore. We dry out. We get stiff, just like if you leave something out in the sun for a few weeks, it dries out. Paper turns yellow. Surfboards no longer stay white. They start to yellow. We age. We oxidize. The reality is that meniscus in a 54-year-old is stiffer. It's a whole different way to treat it. So now I'd like, before I tell you how I want to take care of this problem, please read to me the impression part of your MRI. Go slow so I can break it down with each sentence.
Well, if I go, everything says normal until it gets to the meniscus. So it's
go to the meniscus.
Time there.
And look for the impression. Look for the word impression. You see that in the report? Just read from that.
I see what you're saying. Well, the impression says, it says three things. Tears involving the lateral meniscus, anterior and posterior horns.
Okay.
And it says evidence of a prior MCL injury with fibers, which I did, but that says no tear. And then finally it says small knee joint infusion.
So the small knee joint effusion means that it's swollen. It's like getting poked in the eye. You know, your eye gets red, it gets swollen. So that just confirms that there's an injury. So let's delete number three. Okay. What does number two say again?
It said that I had a prior evidence of the MCL, so the other one, injury with fibers in place, no tear.
Good. So it shows scar from a previous injury, which has nothing to do with this current injury. So we're going to delete the information in number two. So although you're feeling this as though it's your patella tendon, that's just where you're feeling it in front because intimate, what lives right next to your patella tendon in your knee, is the anterior portion of your lateral meniscus. So you'll say, I don't care. It's my patella tendon. You feel it in your patella tendon, but your patella tendon is just fine. Thank you very much. What you have is a lateral meniscus tear, and it's not uncommon to have it in a 54-year-old, particularly with a super active guy like you. So I've written a bunch of books, one with Linda Huey. One's called Heal Your Hips. The other's called Heal Your Knees. Guess what the next book's going to be called? It's going to be called Stop Exercising, You're Killing Yourself. And then I'm going to say, let me explain. Should become a bestseller. Because the reality is I do over 400 hip and knee replacements. I do shoulder replacements as well. But I do over 400 hip and knee replacements every year for 30 years. That's thousands of people. You think they're your grandmother that I'm operating on because of bone on bone. It's not. It's 40-year-olds and 38-year-olds and 52-year-olds. It's people like you, Jose. Why? Because of running. I make a living from running. There's no greater exercise. You're right. To make you sweat. To biggest bang for your buck. Everything about running is great for your heart. But you know what? You ain't 24 anymore. And the weak link is the joint, the cartilage. And people, I've got patients in today's society, they take Advil before they go to the gym because they know it's going to hurt and it's going to get swollen. So they actually take medicine so they can go exercise and beat up their body even more so they won't feel it. This is the crazy world we live in. So first things first, lifestyle change. I need you to fall in love with bike riding. Stationary bike would be ideal. Elliptical is okay. I hate the treadmill for a 54-year-old. I just do. And I hate running. I recognize it's the greatest activity, but not anymore at 54. Next, most people would say, oh, your knee is swollen, you have pain. Let me give you a cortisone shot. No. Let me give you a Synvisc shot. Let me give you stem cells. Let me give you PRP. All kinds of things. They're going to want to stick a needle into your knee. My opinion, everybody gets to have their own opinion, don't. I'm not interested in giving you something for your symptoms, which then wears off and has a side effect, whatever it is. I don't want to do that to you. What you need to do is figure out how to get this knee of yours less aggravated and at the same time get it stronger so this never happens again, so that you get to grow old gracefully. Be holistic. Okay. Well, what are you going to do with this knee? First, ice. You got a swollen knee, put ice on it. If you go into a jacuzzi or do heat, it's going to swell up. So ice is your friend. That's acutely okay. What you're going to do. And if you're really miserable, it's okay to take an Advil, you know, temporarily. Now, I just don't want you to do it long term because it ain't good for your kidneys. But if you need to take it temporarily, that's fine. Next, because you clearly have the beginnings of degeneration in your knee, if you're going to ride the bike and use the elliptical and physically you're a UPS driver or whatever it is that you're doing that's active, for $10, go to CVS Pharmacy and buy a sleeve. You do not need hinges. You don't need copper. You don't need all kinds of cockamamie things that they love. You know, I'm surrounded by people who want to sell you stuff. Go get a simple sleeve. That will be helpful for when you're active. But the most important thing you can do to keep this from coming back again is to strengthen the muscles above the quadriceps, the hamstring above the knee, and the calf muscle below the knee. How do you strengthen them without aggravating the knee? The bike. Right. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you worked hard your whole life. When's your birthday?
January 10th.
Beautiful. You're going to buy yourself a delayed birthday present, and you're going to put it in your house. Get a Schwinn spinning bike. You can go on Craigslist, buy a used one if you have to. You don't need to spend thousands of dollars for an expensive bike, but you need it in your house. And everyone will say to me, oh, I'll go to the gym, Dr. Clapper. Guess what? First of all, you can't go to the gym now anyway, but why do you want to wait for that guy to get off the bike who's sweating all over the bike? I don't understand it. You should have your own stationary bike in the house. Your wife can use it. It's the greatest thing to make this an heirloom for your family. Put it in front of the TV, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday for a half an hour, ride the bike. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, pool exercises, elliptical, Tai Chi exercises, yoga. Do other things. Every day you're doing something. But the reality is delete the bad stuff for this knee and increase the good stuff. Now, have I ever done surgery for someone's torn meniscus? Yes, all the time. But there's a time and place for it. And Jose, when would that time and place be that you said, Dr. Clapper, my knee is stuck? It doesn't straighten all the way. It doesn't bend all the way. I'm still limping. I did what you said for 3 months or 4 months or 5 months. It's still bothering me. Okay, then you and I would have a meeting, and I would clean out the schmutz, the sandpaper that's floating inside there. Otherwise, let's be holistic first. There's a book I wrote with Linda Huey called Heal Your Knees. Get a copy of that book. We give the money to the homeless. That's what you now need to do to be holistic. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. Here's my only question, I guess, that I've left. So I went, not a stationary bike, which I know is better, but I did go for a bike ride, like, after this had kind of healed up a little bit after the first 2 weeks, and it swelled the next day. Was it just that it was too early to do it?
Yes. And I think you need to get a stationary bike so you can do 10 minutes and 15 minutes and work your way up to a half an hour, 3 days a week.
Okay.
Jose, yeah, what a pleasure to meet you over the radio. Thanks so much for calling in, and I really appreciate all the kind words.
You're the real deal. I appreciate you.
Okay, young man. Thanks so much. Have a great day. God bless. All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. Coming up next, I need to tell you some stories. Stories that will amaze you, but mostly it's going to be about food. My donut place is open again. I went surfing for the first time in 5 weeks. I got to tell you what happened. I'll tell you all that. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Weekend Warriors on Facebook.
Didn't you get the memo?
Quickly here, Clapper's crazy kitchen stories. Easily find different callers' aches and pain issues.
Right, I get it.
Search Weekend Warrior in the search bar and click on Doc's picture.
Who are you again?
Voila! Like, follow, and enjoy the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedar Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
Magandang umaga.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Umi ihi bang pasyente mo.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
All right, listen to this. Here comes the lyric I love. When he says, "Hello, old friend," listen. And the reason Rebecca Womble is playing Eric Clapton singing "Hello, Old Friend," and I listen to Eric Clapton 3 days a week for 31 years in the operating room. Oh, I miss it. We'll start up again soon, but right now we're all on this giant pause in life. But "Hello, Old Friend," I haven't been surfing in 5 weeks, but thank God he can surf where I love to surf, up in Ventura. So this past Wednesday of this week, I paddled out for the first time in 5 weeks. I felt the ocean with every paddle on my surfboard saying, "Welcome back, Robbie." It was unbelievable. And there's a lot of kelp in the water. It's the thick seaweed. So when you wear your leash around your ankle, lower down on your leg, so that when you wipe out on your surfboard, you're still attached to it and you can pull it back to you. It's a great invention. But when there's a lot of kelp, if you wear the leash at your ankle, it's really hard to even paddle because that leash is catching all the seaweed as you paddle and also as you ride the surfboard. It could throw you off the board. So the trick I learned a long time ago is to wrap the leash right below my knee, like up above where my calf muscle is, but just above the calf, almost into my knee joint, but just below. Because that way it sits up higher on my leg, so I don't really engage the kelp. I don't get stuck. But I can't really get the Velcro to connect as well because my ankle's a lot thinner than where my calf is. So there's just a few strands of the Velcro. So sure enough, I'm so excited. I catch this one wave, and I ride it. And I'm going up and down the face of the wave. It was just magical for me. And then the wave starts to crash a little bit further in front of me and throws me off the wave. Fine. I do this thousands of times. Here's the problem. My leash is up by my calf with just a few strands of Velcro sealing it. And it snapped right off my leg. And my surfboard goes tumbling with the white water all the way to the beach with me 100 yards out in the ocean with more waves coming, which is fine. I mean, you better know how to swim if you're going to surf. But it was a lot of hard work, let me tell you, to go swim back in to get the surfboard. It was almost as if the ocean said, "Welcome back, Robbie. Don't be a big shot. I could still kill you anytime I want." So it was interesting. What I think we'll do is, we have Pedro on the line. Pedro, I think what we'll do is I'm going to take your call, but I want to be able to spend some time with you. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back to you, Pedro, if that's okay. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
Holy emoji, clap man. Weekend Warriors on Facebook.
Holy slip disc.
That's right, Robin. Hear listeners talk about their aches and pains.
Holy hamstrings.
Along with Doc's Clapper Vision.
Breathe deeply.
And advice to callers.
On your toes, Robin.
So like, follow, and enjoy.
A wise decision.
The Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
Frankly, I can think of nothing more stimulating.
You're listening to The Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Listen to this song by Hootie and the Blowfish. Today we're talking about fish, particularly lox and salmon. Salmon, when it's smoked, becomes lox. When you smoke a blowfish, it probably becomes some other delicious fish you can have at Wexler's Deli. There's a line in this song where he says, love her the most. Because that's the key.
I said that I don't care. I just run my hands.
Darius Rucker. What a voice.
Pray to God, you gotta help me fly away. And just let her cry.
Tremendous. It's all about fish today. Wow. Connect the dots on this one. Tim Salmon, Wexler's Deli, and lox, and me being a surgeon using a knife. It all kind of makes sense. To me, at least. All right, let's take some calls. Clinic's open. The number's 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Pedro. Pedro, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help? Are you there, Pedro?
Hello, Mr. Doc.
I can barely hear you, Pedro. There you go.
Okay. Good morning, Dr. Clapper.
Good morning, young man. Tell me first, how old are you and what do you do for a living?
I'm 35. I'm a Amazon delivery guy.
God bless you for working and delivering all the packages for everybody. Let me ask you a question about your family. What did your dad do for a living? Where did you grow up? What high school?
I went to Westchester High School and Losinger High.
Wow.
Two different high schools.
And your dad, what did he do for a living?
He's been he's a driver for a bus company in the airport.
So you grew up driving. You watched him drive. Is he mechanical? Could he fix the truck? Could he fix the car?
No, he's not that type. I am, but he's not.
You're that type, though. You could fix things. You know, if you ever came to my office, Pedro, you'd see the biggest collection of pistons in my office. And in one, I have six exam rooms. In one of the rooms, I've got like 10 pistons from a locomotive, from a Sherman tank, from an MTA bus, from motorcycles, from boats. You go in the room, and if you're a mechanic, you go, what the hell is going on here? Why do you got all these pistons? Because I don't care what you do for a living. To me, it's the most fascinating how the engine works. And you're comfortable with that, and I love it. How can I help you? What'd you do to yourself?
A few years ago, I completely tore my ACL and my meniscus.
Okay.
I didn't have the proper insurance to go ahead and get repaired, so I had to wait. Finally, when I did, I did my appointment, but I had another incident with my same knee. I was at Knott's Berry Farm with my kids, shooting. My son wanted me to shoot. He wanted a little Kobe Bryant teddy bear. So
love him, love him, love your son for loving Kobe.
And so you know, I went to go try it. I was doing really great on the first rack. I not ran, but I took a couple steps towards the next rack, and my knee locked up. But it was a pain that I never, ever really had before. Couldn't stretch it out, couldn't do anything. So I ended up just shooting the rest of the balls and getting off the court. They told me that I had a piece of meniscus stuck in between my knee.
Mm-hmm.
So I got, they told me that, you know, it's going to be painful for a couple of days, whatever. But now I'm getting my surgery done on May 7th, and the question basically was, they were talking about donated cadaver. What is the difference between a donated cadaver and your own proper cadaver?
All right. So I don't know who's taking care of you, and it's none of my business right now, but I will tell you this. You need to get a second opinion before you have any kind of surgery. And May 7th is still, you know, a lot of the hospitals maybe will start opening, but you, yeah, this is a tough one for me because I'm not so sure it's right yet with the coronavirus and all the rest of it. So you definitely want to get more than one opinion, Pedro. Do me a favor. As far as answering your specific question, let me just tell you, the data, it's not even my opinion. The data does show that there is a higher failure rate between using your own body part, your own patella tendon, versus using a cadaver. Is it wrong to use a cadaver? No. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes it is absolutely the patient's preference. I don't want you to harvest my patella tendon. But this is something where you look up the data in terms of what's more successful. And it's not anyone's opinion. The data there speaks for itself. Because in my opinion, if you're going to do it, you only want to do this once. Carson Palmer. Remember the football player Carson Palmer?
Yes.
He had his ACL done, and they used a cadaver, an Achilles tendon from a, you know, person was in a car, motorcycle accident, died. They took the heart. They take the kidneys. Everybody, you know, is using different parts. It's a beautiful thing to donate organs and whatnot. So from that same young kid who dies in a motorcycle accident, we get to use all kinds of body parts. Like I say, for heart surgery, for kidney surgery, for pancreas, we can use the, well, guess what? We could harvest that person's Achilles tendon or patella tendon cadaver and use it to fix someone like you's Achilles ACL. And many surgeons do, and I have even used it when I had no choice. But if you would ask me my opinion is I would want to use your own patella tendon, because Carson Palmer, 7 years after he had his surgery, no one tackled him. He's just backing up from the center, giving the ball. He backs up. You can look this up on YouTube. He collapses because he tore his graft.
Yeah.
So do your homework. You know, this is not anything against the person who's taking care of you, but you got questions. You need to go into surgery with all of the answers given that make sense to you. I don't want you. My dad was a carpenter, Pedro. Okay. I learned a lot about being a doctor and being a surgeon, about being a man, from him. And he was always amazed because I invented a lot of tools and a lot of things we use in surgery. And he would look at me and go, how did you come up with all this? I said, remember when you got the Milwaukee Sawzall? He looks at me and goes, what the hell does that have to do with doing knee surgery? I go, because you taught me that. And I would go over and over the similarities. Let me tell you something. What you do for a living, Pedro, you're smart. You're intelligent. You're a problem solver. That you go through each and every moment of your life during the day. I don't want you to go to a doctor's office, any doctor's office, and go, well, whatever, he must be the doctor, he must know. No, it needs to make sense to you. That's why I love using Clapper Vision, because I need you to understand what your meniscus is, what part of it tore, to try to explain all of this in ways that you can understand. And your question is legit. And no one's allowed to say you're going to get this because of whatever. It needs to make sense to you. So before you go and have that surgery, you get yourself a second opinion. You know, right now we're not really even seeing patients. I did 60 patients this week through virtual visits. So you still get to see the doctor. You still get to talk to the patient. And I actually really enjoy it. It's nothing like seeing people in person. But Pedro, and you're more than welcome to call my office if you want. You can still have your surgery with whoever you're going to, but I need you to be a lot more educated right now than you are. This is bad for you to have these kinds of questions before you have the surgery. So it's my pleasure to help, and I appreciate you listening to the show. You've listened before. You know what Clapper Vision is, right?
I've been listening to you for almost 5 years, 6 years, actually.
Okay. See, so you're practically a doctor now, Pedro.
I have recommended so many people for listening to you and stuff like that. I actually ran into a couple of your nurses at work. I used to do Uber and Lyft for part-time, and I used to run up to a couple of your nurses and stuff like that.
Well, then you make it your business to have me at least be able to take care of you. So you call my office, you tell them I spoke to you on the radio, and they'll make time for you, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Ms. Dr.
God bless you, Pedro. All right, Warriors, coming up next, I'm going to tell some stories about salmon, locks, surgery. 8:15, my guest is Michael Wexler from Wexler's Deli. Wait till you hear these stories of Tim Salmon, the greatest Angel player since before Mike Trout. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710 ESPN.
Miss an interview or Doc's weekly story?
Check it out on the Weekend Warrior Facebook page. Also, Doc's advice to callers on their aches and pains. Just type Weekend Warrior in the Facebook search bar, and you'll see Doc's picture in the listings. And thanks for checking out the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.